Okay, so today it's Daf Nun Gimel, I think, tonight in Pesachim. So tonight's Daf is sponsored by Josh Peiser on the occasion of the yahrzeit of his father, Erwin Peiser, Harav Yisrael Chaim Ben David, and by Sal Berger in memory of his aunt. That's Golda Bat Aryeh? Golda Bat Aryeh? Okay, Zichron Levracha. All right, so we're on Nun Gimel tonight. Let's go on. Let me get to the Daf. So Nun Gimel Min Aleph. I'll begin around 8 lines from the top. So Tana Rabbanan. So the Gemara says Tana Rabbanan. We learned that, again. We're talking about Shana Biur. We said that when it comes to the Shemitah year, there's a date after which, in other words, like you can take some food in from the field to the house during the Shemitah year for your own use. But then, when that food disappears from the fields, that's shata biur. So this machlok could be shown what exactly has to happen. According to some rishonim, you have to destroy the food. According to others, you have to be mafkir the food. So Tana Rabbanan, ochlin banavim ad shichlu daliot shel ochel, that you can eat grapes during the Shemitah year until it's like they exhaust the daliot, like the grapevines. And ochel is the name of a place. Or someone to say Rashi brings a different girsa, Avel. Avel Kramim is a location. Whereas when the grapes aren't there anymore, that's there's no more grapes. He says, Im yesh me'ucharot mehen, ochlin aleihen. If there are some later ones, you could eat over them. Ochlin b'zeitim ad shechla achron. You could consume zeitim again during everything's during the Shemitah year until the last one is exhausted in Tekoa. And Tekoa is a famous place for Zaytim, and Rashi brings down that because I'll teach us if you look in the Rashi, he says Alpha the Shemen, Tekoa Alpha the Shemen, that Tekoa was the source for the grade A oil that was used in the Beis Hamikdash for the Menachot. Okay, Reb Lezer Omer, Achil Chachron Shel Gush Chalav. Reb Lezer says it's until the last olive disappears from Gush Chalav, which I think was a town in the Galil. He says, "Kadeshe ani yotze v'eno motze lo benofo v'lo b'ikaro rova." Until like an ani would go out and can't find a and we're talking about olives here, right? So he can't find an olive, not on the branches, not at the base of it, a quarter kav. Okay, Oakland grogrot of the dried figs. Achichlu page beit hinei, until like the figs disappear from beit hinei is the name of a place. Amar Rabbi Yehuda lo huzkara page beit hinei eli nemaaser. No, page beit hinei was mentioned for a different halacha for dinu maasrot, and we have in parentheses that non, which means like it was lechora it shouldn't be there. He says, but they taught page beit hinei that the dried figs from beit hinei viahine the tuvina and the dates from tuvina. Chayav and b'maaser. They're not so large, but there are chayav and maaser. Okay? All right. Any questions, comments to us, what we did so far? Everybody good? Okay. We're around 15 lines from the top. And then Gimel Med Aleph. Welcome, Seth. Okay? So we're near the two dots. Okay. The Gemara continues on. Ochlim et marim achichla ahacharon shibet soar. You can consume dates until the last one in soar is eaten up. You know, I was a little yesterday's Gemara Rashi says Soar was Ir Hatmarim, but in the Chumash Yericho is Ir Hatmarim. So I don't know how to reconcile that whole thing. But he says until the last date is consumed in Soar. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Ochlin al Shabina Kipim and Ochlin al Shabina Shitzin. So we had this yesterday. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says you can eat if the dates are been a keeping between the branches. In other words, the dates, they grow on the top of the tree and then they fall down. So they're between the branches. You can still eat because that's like still in the field. But in Oakland, all Shabin between like the thorny areas at the base of the tree, there's some thorny area. So that's not considered, according to Rishon Gamliel, available. He says, so the Gemara Uramini, we pose a contradiction from that Braisa to the following Braisa. So it's going to focus on when is the last time to eat the dates. So this braisa we just did said you can eat the dates until ad shichla achron shabbat soar. The last date is consumed in soar. Urmini ochlin banavim ad pesach. This braisa says you can eat grapes till pesach. And it was at pesach. There's no more grapes out. He says bezeitim ad hatzeret. You can eat olives till shavuos. He says begrogrot the dried figs ad hanukkah. He says b'tmarim ad purim with dates you can eat till Purim is the version. So it's going to be stira that first we said the dates you can eat until the Achron Shabbat Sowar. Now it says till Purim. But Amar Rabibi, Rabbi Yochanan Tartiba tried to machlif. Rabibi says Rabbi Yochanan would flip the last two. So Rabbi Yochanan said that the grogrot are till Purim, the dried figs are till Purim, and the dates are till Hanukkah. But whether the dates are Hanukkah or Purim, that's not the same, or it's not the same date that was given earlier in the earlier Brisa, which says till Ad Sheikh Laha Achron Shabbat Sowar. So the Gemara says, Idi Bidi Chad Shiurahu. So the first answer to the Gemara is it's the same Shiur. In other words, till whether it be Hanukkah or Purim is the same date as when the dates, you know, finish in Sowar. That's the first Hezber, the first wide line downstairs. V'yibay Neima, or else I could say, Hakatani Behedya, we learned earlier in the Braisa, this was around the eighth line from the top of the Amud, that if there's a later date, you can eat at the later date. So it's saying that the first Braisa is saying generally they finish, you know, at this date or that the other date, but the final date beyond which we can never go past are, you know, Pesach for the grapes and Shavuos for the Zeitim, and the Grogrot and the Tamarim, Hanukkah and Purim. Beyond that date, we can't go for the food. In other words, that's the absolute end date. You could say that the anything left beyond that is so bad tasting, it doesn't have the din, you know, like that it's available in the fields. Okay, let me just, let me pause for a second. Who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far?
Can you repeat the second answer?
Yeah. So in other words, the second answer is saying that, like the date generally is, let's say for dates, is Ad Sheikh Laha Achron Shabbat Sowar. The date is the last date finishes in Sowar. It's not available in Sowar anymore. It's finished. But the Braisa earlier said that if there's later dates, you can go beyond those dates. If you know there are dates out in the field, you can go beyond that date. So the second Braisa is teaching me that even though you have a later date, the later date under no circumstances can be beyond the dates that were given in the last Braisa, which means grapes till Pesach. You can have, you know, later date for grapes, but it can't be beyond Pesach. He says Zeitim can be a later date, but it can't be beyond Shavuos. Grogrot can't be beyond Hanukkah. Tamarim can't be on Purim, or vice versa. You know, the dates with Hanukkah and then the Grogrot with Purim. Those are the outer dates beyond which you cannot go past. All right? Okay, everybody good? Okay, let's see further. All right, we're on the first wide line on Nun Gimel Mad Aleph, 53A, the first very wide line. Nice to have everybody here. Okay, so Tanya, Rav Shmuel Lilmer, Simon Laharim, Milan. A hallmark for mountains or Milan are the gulnut trees, and the Gemara will explain what the significance is in a minute. He says, Simon Lama Kim Dekalim, like a sign or hallmark of valleys are the date palm trees. He says, Simon Lenechalim Kanim, a Simon for Nechalim, for the valley, are the reeds. He says, you know, maybe I shouldn't say valley, because Amakim, we said, was valley. A Nachal is where there's like a wadi. How does he say in the English here? He says,
streams,
yeah. Okay, streams are the reeds. He says, Simon L'Shvela, the Simon for L'Shvela is like the coastal area in Eretz Israel, the coastal plain, is the way he says. So how does he translate here? Shvela, he says, the plain, yeah. He says, Simon L'Shvela Shikma, sycamore trees, the Alpha Pishen, Raya L'davar, Zeicha L'davar. Even though we don't have a Raya Mukhrechet from the Psukim, we have a remez to it. Shenemar, Vayitin HaMelech, it's talking about Shlomo HaMelech, obviously was a very wealthy king, everything was very prosperous. It says, Vayitin HaMelech at a Kesef Yerushalayim, that Shlomo HaMelech deposited the money in Yerushalayim, Ka'avanim, like the money, like stones, like somebody would pile up stones. That's the way they were piling up money. He says, "V'et ha'arazim natan kishikmim asher b'shvela larov," and cedar tree or the wood from cedar trees he piled up like the sycamore and the shvela larov. And it was just like sycamore is prevalent in the shvela. That's how he piled up the cedar tree, like for building in Yerushalayim. So the pasuk mentions like shikmim asher b'shvela. So the only thing is, it's not a Rashi says not a Rai Mukhrechet, because not saying it could be shvela without the shikma, but there's a high correlation between the shikma and the shvela. So now the Gemara takes down one at a time. Siman la'rim milim. We said that the hallmark of mountains are the gualnut trees. Siman la'makim, a sign for the valleys, are the kalim, date palm trees. So here the Gemara says, nafkamina l'bikurim. So the significance of that would be when you bring bikurim. Bikurim, there's a mitzvah to bring bikurim to Yerushalayim, and you'd be from Shavuos, remember, from Shavuos till, on Shavuos you should bring it, but if you didn't bring it on Shavuos, you bring it till Sukkos, you may be Bikore, you bring it, and then you could have the recitation. And then the Mishnah says, from Sukkos till Chanukah, it's maybe Be'eno Kore. So, but Rashi learns is that there's a Gzeirah Shava when it comes to Bikurim to the Shivat Minim, and it's teaching that the Bikurim, the Torah doesn't say what the Bikurim are. It says, you bring from the first of the fruits of your land. But there's a Gzeirah Shava that teaches us it's the Shivat Minim, the seven Minim that Eretz Yisrael is praised for, but it has to be from the Shevach Ha'aretz, from the most praiseworthy thing in Eretz Yisrael. So I have to have the best place where it grows. So he says, so nafkamina the Bikurim, ditan, envim Bikurim le Shivat Minim. We only bring Bikurim from the seven species. Below me the kalim shibaharim. We don't bring it from the date palm trees that are in the mountains. In other words, that below be perot shibamakim. And we don't bring it from perot or like the grains that are in the valley. In other words, we bring it from the best. So the best for the dates is the kalim that are in the amakim. In other words, the date palm trees that grow in the valleys, that's the best. The date palms that grow in the mountains, that's not the best. And conversely, the best grains are not the grains that grow in the valley. They get too drenched with water. So for Bikurim, you have to bring the best. Siman l'nachalim kanim, a sign for the streams or the reeds. So nafkamina l'nachal eitan. So the nafkamina would be for nachal eitan, but the egla rufa, so it says you'll bring the egla l'nachal eitan. So the Rambam learns, it means, he says, like this stream that runs strongly, a raging stream is the way that the Rambam learns. And then he quotes here that the Meiri learns means a rock hard banks of a stream. But whatever it is, it's Nachal Eitan. It's got to be like where there's a stream there. So I have to look for something that's got reeds all over the place. Siman the Shvela Shikma, the hallmark of the Shvela, which is the coastal plain in Eretz Israel, is the Shikma, the sycamore trees. Nafkamina Lemekach Mimkar. Nafkamina is, let's say, I'm engaging in a financial transaction with somebody, and somebody says, I'm selling you the Shvela. I'm selling land in Shvela. I expect there to be some sycamore trees there. So the Gemara says, Hashta ati lahaki kulu namin l'mekach mimkar. Now you arrived at that conclusion that it has enough nafkamina from mekach mimkar. You could say mekach mimkar by all of them. So if I'm selling you, you know, something in a Nachal Eitan, I expect reeds. If I'm selling you something in the mountains, I expect the gualnut trees. You know, maybe, does anybody know, Odeh, do you know, are there sycamore trees in the Shvela in Eretz Israel? I don't remember seeing or hearing anything like that. Do you know? Does anybody know? Where's Malka? Malka's not here tonight. Michael, do you know? No. All right. Any questions?
You can see them in Tel Aviv.
What, sycamore trees?
Yeah. In Sderot Rothschild.
Anyway, any other questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did so far? Everybody good? Okay, so I'm going to go. If nobody's got any more questions, I'm going to go on. All right? All right. Let's go back. So now we're up to the next Mishnah. So again, so the topic in this parak is Makom Shenagu, that some things that people have a minhag in one place and people have a different minhag in another place, even though the Ikar Din doesn't necessarily require it. So the Mishnah says Manitin. Now this is a totally this first halach has got nothing to do with Pesach. It's Makom Shenagu. So he says Manitin Makom Shenagu l'mkor behemadak l'nachrim mokrim Makom Shenagu l'mkor ein mokrim. For reasons that the Mishnah is going to explain shortly, Meikar Adin, I'm not allowed to sell a behemagasa. Behemagasa is like a big animal, like a calf, like a donkey. I can't sell it to a non-Jew. So the Gemara, or the Rashi will explain, and we've had this before, it's in Masechet Avodah Zarah. The reason is that if I could sell it to the non-Jew, there's a concern, the Chachamim would concern that I might loan it to a non-Jew or I might lease it to a non-Jew. If I loan the animal or lease the animal to a non-Jew and the non-Jew uses the animal on Shabbos, then I am a Chalal Shabbos because I'm enjoined from the Torah that my behemoth shouldn't do malach on Shabbos. So I'm going to loan the animal or lease the animal to a non-Jew. It's my animal. The Himistam is going to use it. Or the other alternative is that if I sell it to him, he might want to try it out late on a Friday afternoon, and he'll do malacha, and then I'll also, you know, be chaya for it. So the question is, what about behema daka? It's like a sheep or a goat. Do I have that as an added restriction? So that's a chumrah, because it might lead you to sell the behema gasa. So makam shnagulim kor behema daka lenokri mokrim. If the minhag of the place is to sell behema daka, like sheep or goat, to the goyim, so you sell it. Makam shlo nagulim kor ein mokrim. The minhag is not to sell because they're afraid that you'll be led to sell like the big animals, then you don't sell it. But in every place, mitzad adin, you can't sell a behema gasa to the goyim for the reasons that we just explained. And then agalim usiachim, you likewise cannot sell agalim as the calf. So even though the calf is too young to do malacha, you can't sell the calf because people may see you and they want to understand the difference between a calf and a mature animal. And siachim is the young chamor, the young donkey, I also can't sell to the non-Jews. And the Gemara has a limud that the siachim is like, because you say sicha, you say come this way, come that way, it follows. That's the way that Rav Kahati mentioned. He says, shlemim ushvurim. Now, I can't sell the animal, even the young calves and the siach, where they're shlemim, where they're in good physical shape, or the shvurim, they're lame. So lame, unlikely that they would do malacha. You could say that even one shot that Rav Kahati had is that even lame animal could help, like with light work, like in a mill, but I think Rashi has a different shot. What does Rashi say? Shurim. Yeah. So, all right. Yeah. So Rashi says, Mechalfi b'mechirat shleimim, that people want to understand the difference, and they'll say, if I can sell a shur, I could sell the healthy animal. Okay. Rabbi Huda matir b'shur. Rabbi Huda is matir to sell the shur to a non-Jew. Rabbi Huda figures that the shur, he's going to shecht it, and nobody's going to see him with the animal. It'll be history. Ben Batera Matir Basus. Ben Batera is Matir, you to sell a sus to a non-Jew, because he's the sus apparently, Bisman Chazal, was not used as a draft animal, it was used to ride on. That's the way it comes out. So riding on the animal in Shabbos is only prohibited on a Drabanan level. So not going to make Xera look Xera. In other words, the only thing problem with riding an animal is that if you have a shuster abundant, you might break off a branch. So we're not so concerned. So let's look at Rashi on that. He says Mati Rasus. He says five lines to the bottom. Lafish Lachl Ruchiva Venesioni today Lekalamigzar Bohen. And then in other words, his malach is just riding. He says Venesioni today Lekalamigzar Bohen. The Ein Bo Elam Yishem Shvut. And even if he like wants to test out the animal, the only issue is because of shvus, and so like a one shvus for another shvus, we're not gonna pile things on. All right, now he says. Now the next halacha is makom shagula called sleep lelipsachim ochlim. If the minhag of the makom is to eat sleep, not the korban pesach, but roasted meat, not korban pesach, on the night of pesach, you can eat it. The minhag is not to eat it, then you don't eat it. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did in the Mishnah so far? All right, very quiet group lately. All right, let me go on. All right, so the Gemara says, we're five lines to the bottom. Amar Rav Yudah Marav, Asur L'Adam Shomar Basar Zeh L'Pesachu, B'pnei Shenira K'maktish Behem Tov Ochel Kachim B'chutz, that a person is not allowed to say, this meat is for Pesach. In other words, even if he shechted the meat, it's dead already. He can't say this meat is for Pesach because it looks like he's makdish, like kachim b'chutz. It looks like he's makdish an animal, you know, for kachim outside the Beis HaMikdash. So other people will think you're makdish it, or Rabbi Packer is saying it was like a type of, like similar to Mar Zion. That's what Rabbi Packer was saying today. So he's the Shol Meshiv in the Beis Medrash. So Amar Papa Dafka Basar. So that prohibition only relates to meat. He says, Abal Chite Lo. Let's say a person wants, could a person say this wheat is for Pesach? So there's no problem with saying this wheat is for Pesach. Dimintar Lepiska Kamar. Everybody understands that he's just saying that it should, he wants the wheat to stay for Pesach, and then he'll use the wheat to grind and make into matzah. Nobody will think that he's going to sell the wheat and take with the damim and buy a korban pesach with it. That would be the alternative possibility, but nobody will think that, and so that's permissible. Okay. Now the Gemara says ubasar lo. Now we think right now that the prohibition against designating meat for the korban for Pesach would be whether you make a statement, we think, in the Hava Mina, or I don't make a statement, but it's clear from my actions that I'm, you know, treating it like similar to the korban Pesach. We'll see in a minute. He says, Meitve, on this we ask a question from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Todos Ish Romi, Todos Ish Romi, he was an important Jewish man in Rome. Hinig Ebenei Romi, Lechol G'dayim Mekulasim, B'Lelei Pesachim. He accustomed the Jews in Rome to eat G'dayim Mekulasim. So G'dayim Mekulas, we haven't yet in the Masechta, the Gemara is going to say, means like an armed G'di. G'di is a kid, but it means that the way the animal was roasted, they would have like the intestines on his head and then have roshoa kra'avi al kirbo, like the legs near its side. So it looked like a soldier that was like an armed soldier with like a helmet and his armor next to him. So it's called G'di Mekulas. So Todos Ish Romi, he accustomed the people in Rome, the Jews in Rome, to have G'di Mekulas Himbala Dei Psachim, in other words, to have the meat roasted and roasted in a fashion the same way that the Korban Pesach would be roasted. So Shalhulo, the Chachamim sent to Todos, Imalei Todosata, Gozranu Alecha Nidui. Were you not for the fact that you're a Todos, you're an Adam Chashuv, Rashi says, an Adam, an important man, we would be Gozer Nidui, excommunication. Shtamachil Yisrael Kachim Bechutz, because you're feeding Klal Yisrael Kachim Bechutz, you're causing them to eat Kachim Bechutz. Kachim are korbanot outside the base of Mikdash. So the Gemara says, Kachim Sakadagli? You mean actual Kachim? What do you mean? So Ella Ema, turn page, the top line on Nun Gimel Beis. Ella Ema, Karov Lachil Yisrael Kachim Bechutz. So it looks like you're feeding Klal Yisrael Kachim Bechutz. So we think that Right. So we can't designate the meat as Korban Pesach. Okay, now we have the question. Okay, so he says, so they said, Mekulas, Loshna Amar, Loshna Lo Amar. In other words, if it's Mekulas, it doesn't make a difference whether he makes a statement or in this case, even though they weren't making a statement, it sounds like it's prohibited. That's the idea. It sounds like it's prohibited. So he says, now here's the question, though. He says, so Amri, Mekulas, Loshna Amar, Loshna Lo Amar. He says, so if it's Mekulas, that makes him makes a statement. She'ena Mekulas, Perishin Lo, Perish Lo. One second. Give me 1 second. I didn't explain this right. Mekulasin, She'ena Mekulas Lo. Right. Right. I'm sorry. So it means like this. We think the only problem is if it's a G'di Mekulas. In other words, the only problem is that he took a kid, like which is one of the animals that could be offered as a Korban Pesach, and it was Mekulas, and it was like the limbs were lined up the way the Korban Pesach was done. Then I run into a problem. If it's not G'di Mekulas, it's not a problem. In other words, the problem isn't the statement, we think. The problem is just that I have a G'di Mekulas. Otherwise, I wouldn't have a problem. But according to Rav, he says that any basar I can't designate and say it's for Pesach. That's the question. So he says, so again, let me go back to the Gemara. So the second line, Mekulas in Shem Mekulas Lo. So that's the question. So a Mekulas, they don't have a problem. That's the see with Rav. So Amri, they said in the base medrash, Mekulas loshna amar, loshna lo amar. No, if it's Mekulas, it doesn't make a difference whether you make a statement or not. Then you run into problems if it's Mekulas. But she'eno Mekulas, pireshin lo piresh lo. If it's eno Mekulas, then I'll run into problem. If I say that this is for Pesach, or I don't say it's for Pesach, then I don't have a problem. But if I say it's for Pesach, I run into a problem with this. All right? So that's the, okay, everybody good so far?
So can you say for Yom Tov?
Say again, repeat.
Can you say this meat is for Yom Tov, not for Pesach?
Yeah, for Yom Tov you don't have a problem. Okay, but I'll come more about this in a minute. Okay? All right, now let's see further in the Gemara. Okay, now on the fourth line from the top, Rav Acha Matni Lo Laha Matnita Kirib Shimon. So Rav Acha taught the Brisa about Todos Yishromi. We had in our Brisa, Amar Rav Yossi, Todos Yishromi Hinag B'nei Romi. So the Gemara says that Rav Acha didn't learn Rav Yossi, he learned Rav Shimon is the one who repeated it. So Matkev Rav Sheshet, B'shlem Laman D'tani L'Rav Yossi Nicha. So the one who says that Rav Yossi is the one who repeated the halach and the Brisa is fine. El Laman D'matni K'Rav Shimon Minicha. Is it easy to say that Reb Shimon is the author of this Brisa? He says, Vahatran. We learn in the Mishnah, and this, okay, the Mishnah, it says, this Mishnah is in Masechet Menachot. So he says, Vahatran. Rabbi Shimon Poter, Shlomo Dave Kederecha Menadim. Let's say a person says, Rashi brings it down on the fourth narrow line, he says, Ba'omer harayalai mincha min ha-sa'orim. A person makes a neder to bring a mincha, a voluntary mincha, a meal offering, but min ha-sa'orim, from barley. So there are very few menachot that are from barley. There is one mincha, who knows, there's only two menachot that I can think of that are from barley. Does anybody want to volunteer which menachot are from barley?
Sota?
Sota, yeah. What's the other mincha?
So, and the Omer.
Omer, that's it, yeah. All the other menachot are from wheat. So anyway, so a person, he wants to bring a voluntary mincha offering, but he says it's from barley. So let's see back in the Gemara. He says, Vatanan, Reb Shimon Poter, Son of Dave, Kederecha Menadvim. Reb Shimon says that if a person says, Harei Alai Mincha Menasa Orim, he's exempt from bringing anything because his statement doesn't make any sense. He says, I'm going to bring a mincha, Minhasa Orim, so it's a nullity. So the so similarly here, if a person like says, let's say he says after the meat is already roasting on the spit, he says, you know, this meat is for Pesach. So that doesn't mean anything. It's, and it was not the Derech HaMenadvim. In other words, Derech HaMenadvim would be the animal's alive. And the person would say, this animal's for Pesach, things like that. Not that he says this meat is for Pesach. And that's what we said, Basar. It's not so easy to understand that that Rabbi Shimon would be the author of this Brisa. So let's see back in the Gemara. So Amarli Ravina Ravashi. So Ravina said to Ravashi, he says, Uman Damatni Lak Rabbi Yossi Minicha. Is it easy if we say it's like Rabbi Yossi, which is the way we have it in our Gemara, Va'amar Rava, Rabbi Shimon Shita Rabbi Yossi Amra, he says that Rabbi Shimon was following the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, the Amar Apigmar Devar of Adam Nitpas. So this is a Gemara in Masechet Tamura, which Rashi brings down in the Dibur Matzil Rabbi Shimon, that if a person says, Harezu Tamurat Ola Tamurat Ashlamim. He says, this animal will be a tamura in exchange for an ola, in exchange for a shlamim. So the question is it to be an ola or is it to be a shlamim? So Rabbi Yossi says, Apimor's barabam nitpas. So the Tanakhama holds, we just looked at Tfos Lashon Rishon. In other words, I have two statements. Harezu tumur ola tumur shlamim. So the Tanakhama holds, we're going to follow the first statement, Tfos Lashon Rishon, and we'll say it's a tumur of an ola, and that'll be the way we'll go with it. But Rabbi Yossi says, no, we're going to have full force and effect to both statements. So we'll wait for the animal to graze, get a mum, then we'll sell the animal, and with the value that we get from it, we'll divide it half between an ola and half between a shlamim. That's the way that Rabbi Yossi says. So, but Rabbi Yossi says we look at both terms. So here, in the previous sugya, we were saying if a person said, Harei alai mincha min ha-sa'orim, so the Tanakhama would say, just look, Harei alai mincha, Tfos Lashon Rishon. But Rabbi Yossi says you have to look at the whole statement. So Rabbi Shimon, who said before that it's a nullity because I look at the whole statement, it doesn't make sense. So he didn't give it the way normally people give it. So let's see back in the Gemara again. So the Gemara says, "Umantamani like Rabbi Yossi minicha b'amarava Rabbi Shimon shita Rabbi Yossi amra Rabbi Shimon who said that it's a nullity and we he said." So he was following the sheet of Rabbi Yossi, the Amar Apig Mar Dvar of Dam Nitpas. So my lab is Rabbi Shimon Savalak Rabbi Yossi. Is it, we think right now that just like Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Yossi, and we said that our this brisa with todos can't be like Rabbi Shimon, because the statement doesn't make sense. If I say this is for Pesach, but what's the expression? He says, you know, Shiloh, what was it? Shiloh, that he didn't give it like to Kederach HaMinadvim. What is the expression again? So he says, early on Rashi has it. He says, one second. Yeah. He says, Shlo Kederach HaMakdishim Hu. Right. In other words, he didn't give it the way people normally would give it. It's just like such a strange statement. So we said earlier that the brisa can't be according to Reb Shimon, because Reb Shimon is going to look at the whole picture, and it doesn't make sense if I look at the whole picture. So the Gemara says, my love means Reb Shimon Sabalak Reb Yossi, just like Reb Shimon holds from Reb Yossi, that I look at Af Bigmar Dvar of Dam Nitpas, the person's held accountable for the whole statement, Reb Yossi Nami Sabalak Reb Shimon. So Reb Yossi, we assume, also holds like Reb Shimon. So Reb Yossi holds like Reb Shimon, so the Brisa can't be like either one of them. So the Gemara says, lo, Reb Shimon Sabalak Reb Yossi. Reb Shimon agrees to Reb Yossi. He looks at the whole statement and it doesn't make any sense. Lo Reb Yossi Sabalak Reb Shimon. Reb Yossi, even though he looks at the whole statement, he doesn't hold from Rabbi Shimon. So from Rabbi Shimon's statement. So one second. And the expression before was Shlokederach HaMinadvim. So by Gedima Kulas, even though he's not doing Kederach HaMakdishim, it's still, we're going to say it still looks like he's like, you know, like bringing like a Korban Pesach. One second. Yeah. Right. So even though they're not doing it, Kederach HaMinadvim, it's not meaningless. He says that we could construe it, that the value of the meat could be used for the Korban Pesach. Okay, let's just repeat again, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? So we had the brisa about Todos Ish Romi. So Todos Ish Romi said a person that Todos Ish Romi taught the Jews in Rome to roast their gedi, like their kid, on the Leil Pesach, like they would do with the Korban Pesach, and the Chachamim said we wanted to put you in nidui, but you're told us you're an important person, we're not going to put you in nidui. So the Brice that we saw, it was going like Reb Yossi, and then there was a different version that the Brice was going like Reb Shimon. So the Gemara said that So he says, if it's like Reb Shimon, we're going to run into problems. Here on the eighth line, it's the line I was trying to think. Shlo Nadev Kederach HaMinadvim, that the person didn't make the contribution the way that donors normally make. In other words, it's like if a person brings barley and says, he says, Harei Alai Mincha Shel Seorim. I'm voluntarily, he makes a neder to bring a mincha offering of Seorim. So according to the Tanna Reb Shimon, he's patur. He doesn't have to bring anything. Shlohinadev Kederach HaMinadvim. He didn't make the contribution the way people normally make the contribution. It was, I look at the whole statement, but the whole statement doesn't make sense. So here, same thing with Todos Ish Romi, that he's Gedim Akulas B'Lei Psachim, but it, like the whole picture doesn't make sense. That, you know, even if they would say this is for Pesach, the statement would be made after the meat was already on the roast on the spit, and it's not the way people would normally say it. So it's hard to understand within Reb Shimon. So then the Gemara says, yeah, but within Reb Yossi, it's not so easy either, because Reb Shimon was following Reb Yossi. Reb Yossi is the one who says we look at not just Lashon Rishon, we look at Lashon Achron. So just like Reb Shimon follows Reb Yossi, we figure Reb Yossi must follow Reb Shimon. And the Gemara says, no, Reb Shimon follows Reb Yossi, he looks at the whole statement. And he says, Shalom, Shelo hitna dave kiderecham in nadvim. He didn't make the donation like the regular ones. Rabbi Yossi, he says, I look at the whole statement, but I'm not going to toss out the whole statement according to Rabbi Yossi. And in Achinami, the statement by itself doesn't make so much sense, but I'll still say that maybe the person intended in some way that the value of the meat should go for the korban, and so therefore it would be prohibited. All right. Any questions, comments, or thoughts?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
If it's Erev Pesach and I'm roasting a goat so that I can eat it at the Seder, and somebody walks over to me and says, what are you doing? What am I supposed to say?
You could say that this meat is for Yontif.
But the Yontif is Passover. What other Yontif could it be?
Yeah, and then the point is, you don't want to say this is for Pesach, because if I say this is for Pesach, could be understood as a statement, this is for my Korban Pesach. That's what you don't want to say. Now, the emes is, our minag is not to have tzali. Our minag is we don't even have roasted meat on Pesach, right? So according to our minag, you wouldn't be roasting the meat, hopefully. But even with that, you wouldn't want to say that it's for Pesach. That's the main idea, all right? Now, I just mentioned Agav Orcha that, so some people have the minag. Again, the Mechaber brings down in Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah brings down that our minag is not to have tzali, not to have roasted meat on the night of the Seder. You know, I'm upset because I remember there was one place I would go into, it was on Main Street, and it would be before Pesach, and they would have like these roasted chickens, and people would be buying it, and I thought it was pretty clear that they're buying it for the Seder. I didn't think it's right. You know, it's like on a rotisserie. And then I asked the Mashgiach about it, and he said, well, it's not roasted
chicken?
Like the one
that... Chicken?
Yeah, chicken.
What's the problem with chicken?
How could you have chicken in a Beit HaMikdash?
Yeah, no. So the halacha is that even animals that are not, even the ofot, even though poultry that couldn't be a korban, notwithstanding that, you're not supposed to have it tzali, you're not supposed to have it roasted. So I called up. I think I spoke to the Mashgiach. He says, well, it's not roasted the way they would roast it in the Beis HaMikdash. I don't know. But the thing is, now, some people, I spoke to Rav Schechter once about this. Rav Schechter told me it's called gedemta flesh. He just has boiled meat on Leil Seder. And that's the way. In some yeshiva circles, you'll have people who have boiled meat on the Leil Seder. But if you're not having the boiled meat...
There should
be at least water in it. In other words...
It could be potted,
but it's got to have some water in it.
It could be roasted, just have water in it.
Right. So it has to have some water in it. That's the main thing. You want to avoid anything that looks like tzali. All right.
When you go to the Passover program, everything is roasted. Yeah, all the Passover, you have all the gdolim there come to lecture and everything.
But when you say roasted, what do you mean?
Not gebrax.
The non-gebrax. I mean roasted meat. I know roast. You have Chateaubriand, you know, they call it.
Right.
You have a piece of meat.
But with Chateaubriand,
something that you will not eat.
With Chateaubriand, is it just roasted on the fire or there's like water there?
Yes.
Or is it basting in water? It's roasted like...
The Jews have to smear it with something, you know? Even sushi, they smear.
The way you're describing it does not sound good, but I don't know what to say. All right.
It doesn't. You don't want to eat it.
All right, let's see further in the Gemara. Now,
third day in the program, they all by Meir Abitan. Yeah.
All right. Now, let's go further in the Gemara. Now, by the way, you know, there's a safer, you know, they have all these people, they sell Sfarim over the years in the Beis Medrash. Today I was looking, like, everybody publishes a safer, and there's always, like, you know, Sfarim in the Beis Medrash. So a number of years ago, I can't remember exactly, I bought this safer. It's called Karnot HaMizbeach, and it's about offering korbanot bizman hazeh, you know, sacrifices bizman hazeh. Somebody in the yeshiva, I think it was, like, somebody from his family had published this. Any event, so this safer was published in Europe years ago, and then it was republished. So in the back of the sefer, I remembered, and I just pulled it off my shelf right before the Daf Yomi. He brings down a tshuva from the Maharsham, till the Maharsham was isn't that Rav Shalom Shwadron, right? Or not? I'm not sure. I get confused between the Maharsham and the Maharsham, but the Maharsham. I thought Anyway, so the Maharshami says that he asks the Shaila like this. He says that that before Pesach, one of the Balabatim had an egel, had a calf. It was a para. Like these Jews are in Europe, and one of the cows gave birth to an egel, and his son said he named Ladislenu Korban Pesachol. like in Yiddish, like when he had the lamed, it's the diminutive. We have a little Korban Pesach here, the son says. He says, and his father said, Esvetaka Zayin, a git Korban Pesach. Yeah, it's good Korban Pesach. And the whole Shaila is, and there were a number of people present, and the Baal HaBaas says he just meant it as a joke. And then the question is, now, where is this leaving with the status with the animal and the whole thing? And was he makdish it and so forth? Okay. Anyway, let me get one safe out. I'll be back in 1 second.
Oof.
All right, I'm here. So the Maharsham is Rav Shalom Mordechai HaKohen Shvadron. Right, the Maharsham, this Maharsham was the grandfather of the Maggid of Yerushalayim. There was a Rav Shalom Shvadron, was the Maggid of Yerushalayim. He passed away a number of years ago. His grandfather was a big gadol in Europe, and that's the Maharsham. So this is a question in the Sefer that he says that I think was a tshuva from the Maharsham, what to do in this case. Okay, anyway, let's see back in the Gemara. All right, now we're going to have a little bit of Parsha to Shavua now. Ibailahu, Todos Yishromi Gava Rabba Hava, Obala Gropin Hava. So the Chachamim said to Todos, they said, if were you not Todos, we would put you in Cherem. But you're Todos, we're going to give you some slack. So the Gemara says, was Todos Yishromi Gava Rabba? Was he big Tamad Chacham, and that's why they're giving him the slack? He said, oh, Bala Gropenhava, was he like a powerful person and they didn't want to, you know, start up with him? So he says, Tashma, so we learn the Braisa, Odzu, Darash Todos Yitromi. The Todos Yitromi had a different drasha, so you see, he's a Tamid Chacham. He says, Maru Chanani Mishal Bazarya, Shemasru Asman al Kshet Hashem, Lekib Shana Esh. He says, why did Chanani Mishal Bazarya, this is in Sefer Daniel, Chanani Mishal Bazarya, they were willing to risk their lives for Kedusha Shem L'Kib Shana Esh, to be thrown into the fiery furnace. So remember in Sefer Daniel, I mentioned this on Sunday, so in the third parak, Nebuchadnezzar, he makes his big golden image. He says everybody has to bow down to it. And then people tell him that Chanani Mishal Bazarya are not bowing down to it. And he says anybody doesn't bow down to it gets thrown into the fiery furnace. And he directs that the furnace be heated up like 7 times normally, and they throw him into the fiery furnace. So why did they do that? Now, there's a question we'll talk about. Rashi says that Shaldarshu b'chai behen lo shemut behen, that the Torah says you should live. So we'll talk about, like, isn't there a mitzvah to give up your life for avodah zarah? We'll talk shortly about it. We'll have to make it quickly. He says, so nasu kavachomer ba'atzman mitzvardim. They did a kavachomer from Tzvardim, which is in this week's Parsha Shavu of the Makat Tzvardim. Now, Tzvardim, you should know, like, we usually translate it as frogs, but the Ramban, in his Parish and Chumash, but I think he has it later on, maybe by Makat Barad, and Rav Sai mentions this in a Sefer, he says that the crocodiles are the Tzvardim, which makes a little more sense. So, you know, the crocodiles in the Nile, they go all over the place. So he says, Umat Tzvardim, they're not commanded concerning Kedusha Hashem, this, you know, sanctifying God's name, giving up their lives, that all the frogs will go into your house, they'll go into your ovens and your kneading bowls where you knead the dough. He says, Ematime Shirot Sude Sultanur, when are the kneading bowls near the ovens, which it sounds like where they were? Heavy Omer Bishasha Tanur Cham, when the oven is heated up, hot oven. So in other words, they're jumping into the oven when the oven is hot. So the frogs are giving up their lives and they're not mitzuva, and yet they gave up their life. We have a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. We should give up our life. That's the light approach to this. So Anush Mitzvah Hashem Acha Kama Kama. So there's a question from the Shagas Aryeh, and Rav Simon mentions this in a sefer. Shagas Aryeh asks, what do you mean that the frogs are not commanded? But in Makat Tzvardeya, the frogs were commanded. You know, they'll go here, they'll go there, they'll go the other place. So the Gra, when he was 6 or 7, apparently he met the Shagas Aryeh, and he said that each frog didn't have to go into the oven. In other words, the frog could say, I want to go into the bed. Like that. So the frogs that went into the oven, they weren't mesuba per se to go into the oven, and yet they went into the oven. And that's the kal v'chomer with that. Now, let me just do briefly, we're running out of time, but I mentioned earlier, so in the second wide line in Rashi, Rashi says, Mara'u, Chananya Mishael v'Azariah, Shlo Darshu v'chai behem v'lo shimut behem. They didn't darshan out the pasuk. You should live with them and not die with them. Now let's look at Tosos quickly, the second Tosos. Ruchanani Mishal Vazarya, Pirshkosh Marushlo Nadarshu Bahai Bahemlo Shimut Mahen, Vikasha Dabafar Hesyahava. Now, it means like this. In the Gemara Mesechet Sanhedrin, says the Machloket, whether you have to give up your life for Avodah Zarah. So even Rabbi Shmuel learns you don't have to give up your life for Avodah Zarah. We Paskin, you do have to give your life for Avodah Zarah. But Rabbi Shmuel says you don't have to give up your life for Avodah Zarah. But even Rabbi Shmuel, who says you don't have to give up your life, he'll say it's Befar Hesias, publicly, you do have to give up your life. That's like an aggravating factor. So he says, V'kasha, da Befar Hesiava. This was in public, like Nebuchadnezzar said, everybody has to bow down to this idol, and it was a public affair. So then they did have to give up their life. So what does it mean? What does it mean that they had a kal v'chomer? You know, otherwise they'd be off the hook. Like the mesuba to do it. Umaskina b'Sanhedrin, the kuli alma for hesia chayev, l'msur atzmo afilu a mitzvah kala. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin ends up saying that even for other mitzvahs you have to give up your life if it's before Hesia. So Mufarish Ben Otam, the Selmze Shasan Nebuchadnezzar, Lavavoda Zarahava, Elendarta Shaselik Vodatzmo. So Ben Otam says that this idol was not Avodah Zarah. This idol was a depiction of the king, of King Nebuchadnezzar, that he made it out of Kavod for himself. So it wasn't Avodah Zarah. But he was asking them to bow down to it, so that was why they felt, you know, they wanted to l'chakamar ma'ra'u. He says v'chein mashmu d'tiv l'lakach, sounds like way. He says l'lakach leid anachdam palchin, we don't worship your god, u'litzalam t'dav alon isko, and we're not going to bow down to this golden statue. Mashmu d'lakadidei v'tzalam t'rei milei ninu. So it sounds like it's two separate things. So it's still like pasnish to bow down to something, but it really wasn't Avodah Zarah. So he says, Va'ati nami shapir hadimrinan be'ilu narod, and will they not do the chanani mishava zarya palchu litzlama? He says, Via Avodah Zarah chas shalom shu mishtach avim lo. He says, it says that had they beaten Chanani Mishael Bazaria, they would have worshipped the Tzelem. But it was a Avodah Zarah, Chas Hashem, they would bow down to it. Umil Shom Palchu Loati Shapir. But the word Palchu doesn't fit in so well, because that sounds like worshipping it. All right, that's the first side. V'rima Faresh Maru Ushlo Barchu. The Re says, why didn't they flee? Shrei Kodam Amah Sayucholim Levroach Kmosha Sadaniel Kedamar Bechelek Shoshah Yuba Oto Eitza. So, They could have fled. So either it means that it really, in other words, why were they not mitzuva to give up their lives? Why do they need this kal v'chomer? So either really wasn't Avodah Zarah. So therefore, so it's not something they normally have to give up their life for, or it was Avodah Zarah, but they could have fled. So, but they chose to stick around. So why did they choose to stick around? They had the Gzeir Shava, the kal v'chomer from the frogs. All right. And listen, I have to move quickly. Let me just move a few lines, get to the Mishnah. We'll take 30 seconds of questions, and then we'll go on. Okay. So the Gemara says, back 5 lines before we can survive, Rabbi Yossi bar Avin Amar, selling more about Todos Yishromi. Rabbi Yossi Bar Avin Amar Matim Malai Lakishal Talmidei Chachamim Yuhaya. He would put merchandise at the disposal of the Talmidei Chachamim where they could sell the merchandise and then split the profits. In other words, he helped them financially. He says, the Amar Rabbi Yochanan Kalmetim Malai Lakish Talmidei Chachamim Zochav Yoshe Bishiva Shomala. If you do that, you help a Talmid Chacham financially, you're Zochav to sit in Yishiva Shomala. Shnemar Ki Betzel Chachma Betzel HaKasef. So Rashi learns, he says, "Psil chachma, in the mechisin chachma, yikanei zeh." In other words, the person will be like Psil chachma. He'll be in this honored place where all the talmidei chachamim sit, because with the shelter money, because he helped them with their money. Okay, we have like 60 seconds for questions on the Gemara. I did it until now. Who's got questions, comments, and thoughts? Everybody good?
The frogs don't have a obligation to chai by him, to live by them. So how could you learn that kal vachomer?
So, yeah, so no. So the question was, but the frogs gave up their lives, though. That was the question.
I'm saying, so they could give up their lives because they don't have obligation to live high by him, but we do.
Yeah, that's true. But even if they don't have, I guess you'd have to say that even though they don't have a mitzvah chai by him, but they don't have a mitzvah to die with them either. So that would be the kal vachomer. So there's no mitzvah chai by him. There's no mitzvah of dying either. So why are they giving up their life? That's the best I could say with that. Otherwise, I don't know. All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay, let's go on. Okay, the last number line on Nun Gimel Beis. Okay, Matnitin. Now, this is talking about a different topic altogether, about whether you have to light candles on Leil Yom Kippur. Now, on Shabbos and Yontiv, we light candles. It's for Kavod and Oneg Shabbos, Kavod and Oneg Yontiv. What about on Yom Kippur? So the Gemara is going to say there's different minhagim. Some places light candles, some places don't light candles. And the Gemara is going to say that they're both mechavein, that we don't want a man to have relations with his wife. And so one holds that if the light's on, it's less likely to have relations. One holds without light, you know, it's less likely to have relations. We'll see in a minute. Manitha makom shana gula likit aner, leleyom akipurim adlikin. If the minhag is lemakom to light, we light. Makom shana gula shalola adlikin madlikin. If the minhag is not light, we don't light. U madlikin, but we always light, but take an esiyot the shul, v'atei midrashot beis medrash, v'vo'ot the alleyways, ha'afelim, the dark alleyways, v'al gabi acholim. Okay, so the Gemara Tana, bein shamru lahadlik, bein amru shalola hadlik, where the shita is to light or not to light, shnei l'dvar achad and kavna. They both have the same intent. And if you look at Rashi, he says in the third white line, he says, bein shamru lahadlik, otan shna agud lahadlik, v'anogim shalola hadlik, l'na kavru l'dvar achad, l'afrish shmo mi mishkevei isha, homru lahadlik, mishum, in other words, a person who doesn't have relations with his wife by any light, all the lights should be off. So light will prevent people from having relations. And again, on Yom Kippur, it's one of the five inuyim not to have relations with your wife. He says, "Va'omrim shalom lahadlik." The ones who say not to light, sovrim shaner dolek ruet ishto metavela. When he sees his wife, it like arouses his desires. So either way, so if the light arouses desire, we don't want it off. If the light if the darkness would encourage you to have relations, then we want the light on. Okay, so he's back in the Gemara. So the fourth white line. I'm a Rabbi Yeshua, Darash Rava, V'yameh Kulam Sadikim L'Olam Yeshua Aretz V'Gomer. That the Pasuk, he darshens out the Pasuk, that the nation is all holy, all righteous, they'll always inherit Eretz Israel, meaning everybody's mechavein for the best way. I mean, ben shamru lahadlik, ben amushu lo lahadlik, shim l'kavnu el devar achad. In other words, they're both mechavein for like the righteous goal. The question is how to achieve that goal. Is the lack of relations better achieved by leaving the light on, then you won't have relations, or is it better achieved by leaving light off, then you won't be aroused? Okay, so Amar Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel, Emevarchan La'or Ela B'Motzei Shabbat. It's a different halacha. Now, Rav Yudah says, Emev Shmuel, you only make the bracha Borei Morei Ha'esh on Motzei Shabbat, Ho'il Utchil B'riyah Tohu. So according to Chazal, the fire was created on Motzei Shabbat. When Adam HaRishon, he was leaving Gan Eden, and then in his desperation, he takes like two pieces of flint and he bangs them against each other, and that's when he created fire. So that's when we make the bracha Borei Morei Ha'esh, meaning that we wouldn't make the bracha Borei Morei Ha'esh on Motzei Yom Kippur. In other words, that's the question. In other words, do we make a bracha Borei Morei Ha'esh on Motzei Yom Kippur? So this first opinion is saying Bori Moray Shusoli Shayach on Motzei Shabbat, because that's when the light was created. He says Amrle Husavo Beitema Rabba Bar Chana Yasher Bechen Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So the certain old person said, and some say it was Rabbi Bar Chana said, Yasher, you like Yasher Koach? That's a good rendition of what of the halacha. Bechen Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said the same thing. So not only Shmuel, but Rabbi Yochanan said the same thing. We only make Bori Moray Shamotzei Shabbat, not a Motzei Yom Kippur. Ula Havarachiv Chamra. Ula was riding a donkey. Ba'azil. Rabbi Abba Miminei. So Rabbi Abba was accompanying him, and he was to his right of Ula. He says Rabbi Baruch Hanan Mismale, and Rabbi Baruch Hanan was to his left. He says Amarle Rabbi Abba Leula. So Rabbi Abba, the right hand Chacham, says to Ula, when you travel, so the Talmud Chacham's in the middle. His best Talmud's to his right, and the lesser Talmud's to his left. So the Talmud to his right said to him. So he says, "Bada damrita mishmeid Rabbi Yochanan mivarchan laor elab motzai Shabbat hu tchibriya tohu." Is it true that you say in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that you only make the bracha borim roish motzai Shabbat because that one was created? So that's what Rabbi Abba says to Ula. So hadar Ula chaza be Rabbi Bar Barchana bishut. So Ula turned to the Talmud on his left, Rabbi Barchana looked at him in a negative way. In other words, meaning that Ula thought that this statement came from, that he got the statement from Rabbi Barbachana. And in the earlier Gemara, we saw five lines earlier that according to one version, Rabbi Barbachana had said that in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Barbachana says, Amar lei, ana alav ha'amri. That's not what I said. Ela ha'amri. This is what I said. The Tani Tana coming to Rabbi Yochanan, I said that a Tana taught before Rabbi Yochanan, Shimon Lazar Omer, Yom Kippur Shchali B'Shabbat, that when Yom Kippur coincides with Shabbat, Apamakom Shamru Shalom Lahadlik, even if it's a place where you don't light normally candles on Yom Kippur, he says, Madlikim Leikvot Shabbat, that on this case, you could light because of Kod Shabbos, it was with Shabbos and Yom Kippur on the same day. But Ani Rabbi Yochanan Batrei, and Rabbi Yochanan said, in response to hearing that braisa, but chachamim osrim. So that the chachamim even asked there. In other words, not everybody agrees that when Yom Kippur is on Shabbos, that you would light the candle anyway. I mean, not the candle on Mosai Shabbos Yom Kippur, but lights on during the holiday. He says the chachamim asked still. So amarle adatehe. He says, okay, that I'm with that. That sounds like a good statement. So all I said was that Rabbi Yochanan says that even then you don't have lights burning on Yom Kippur, even when it's on Shabbos, and then you'd wait till Motzei Shabbat to burn a fire. That's what I said. So he says, so Kari Le Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef applied the following pasuk to Ula, Mayim Amukam Eitzah B'Lavish, like deep waters is counsel in the heart of man, on the top line in Dalam Ralef, Beish Tfuna Yidlena, and a person with wisdom will draw it out. Mayim Amukam Eitzah B'Lavish Zeh Ula. In other words, Ula didn't say anything. He just looked at Rabbi Barbachana. He didn't say anything, and you have to figure out what Ula was angry, but Ula had turned with an angry face. And then he says, Zeh Ula, Beish Tfuna Yidlena, the one with like knowledge will draw forth the water, is that Rabbi Bar Barchana. That's Rabbi Barchana. In other words, that he understood right away what was bothering Ula, and he was able to respond to it. He says, "Ve'inu k'man sivarua." So apparently, both Ula and Rabbi Bar Barchana felt not this way. They felt that indeed you bake borei moreish even on Motzei Yom Kippur, which is the way we hold with halachic qualifications. He says, "Ki hadimar." So who do they hold? They hold ki hadimar Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefet Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Like Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefet says, "Any Rabbi Yochanan mevarchan al or maybe Motzei Shabbat, maybe Motzei Yom Kippurim." That we make the bracha borei moreish on Motzei Shabbat and Motzei Yom Kippur. B'chein amad dabar. That's the way people are knowing now. Blin and I will talk more about this tomorrow night, but the big difference is that on Motzei Shabbat, we light a match, and then we make the bracha, because we're just commemorating the time that Adam Rishon created light. So we're creating light, he created light, it's fine. But on Motzei Yom Kippur, so you need Ner Sheshavat in order to make the bracha, Borei Moreish on Yom Kippur, so that we're sort of, that's kind of commemorating or accentuating the fact that on Yom Kippur, you have all the Yisuri Malacha as you do on Shabbat. And just like on Shabbat, I can't light a fire, so doing Yom Kippur, I can't light a fire. But I need a fire that's been going since the beginning of Yom Kippur till after Yom Kippur. So that's the fire I need to make a bracha b'orim yoyesh. So I have to have a fire that was burning for 24 hours in order to make the bracha b'orim yoyesh on Motzei Yom Kippur. Okay, I have 30 seconds for questions, comments, and thoughts. All right, so the learning tonight was Leilui Neshama of Josh Peiser's father, Erwin Peiser, Zechron Lebracha, Rabbi Yisrael Chaim David ben, and Zechron Lebracha, and for Sal Berger's aunt, that's Golda Bat Aryeh, Zechron Lebracha. Okay, let me end the recording, and then we'll say goodbye. One second, let me get this out. Here we go.